Hello, and welcome to Akron, VA. I hope that you will enjoy Bloodbath. To stay up to date on when new stories are released, please feel free to subscribe. Without further ado, I implore that you listen and enjoy.
"It's all an illusion," Lord Mortimer Henley said in a posh voice, indicative of his noble upbringing, to Dalen, his young and philosophically curious protege. "The clothes, the wine, the prim and proper attitudes, in the minds of such nobility, these things symbolize power and strength." Dalen looked around the extravagant ballroom, noting all the symbols of excess and nobility. The room had a strange golden hue, as if the walls themselves exuded wealth. Massive red curtains hung from the high vaulted ceilings and gently brushed the stone floors around the walls of the ornate room. Dozens of small wooden tables with lavish silk tablecloths dotted the edges of the hall, while a much longer and more decorated table stretched from one end to the other, seating the most important and dignified guests this evening. Dalen and his teacher sat at one of the smaller tables nearest the main table. Such signs of wealth used to disgust Dalen, but in his time spent under the tutelage of Lord Henley, he had grown to recognize its place in Brokend society. The ladies in their expensive and colorful ball gowns, and the lords in their pristine suits and uniforms. All of the lords, except Lord Henley, also carried sabers at their side, despite the obvious fact that none of them had ever known any form of combat or war. Though inexperienced in martial combat, many of these nobles were proficient in various schools of magic, though most of them would never have used such magics outside of a training setting. Nobles, however, were a paranoid bunch, and as such, every person in attendance, including the hosts and waitstaff, were forced to wear a soul governor, an enchanted jeweled bracer that prevents the use of any external magic. It had been magically bound to each person by the house warden. While many enchanted objects like soul governors are passively enchanted and self-contained, Lord Henley had explained earlier that these particular ones were bound to the warden himself, meaning that as long as he still lived and had enough magical energy, the soul governors were impossible to break, bypass, or remove. Such devices had become commonplace in high society in the years following the ascension. However, ones actively enchanted by a warden were extremely rare. Before Brokend had become a god, there was little need for such precautions, as his iron fist and dominating presence was more than enough to stifle any thoughts of betrayal, rebellion, or assassination. Since his disappearance and apparent apotheosis to divinity, however, distrust and court intrigue had been at an all-time high. Part of the reason Dalen had requested to become Lord Henley's ward was to learn more about how a government built on the back of one man, however extraordinary that one man might have been, could still operate for so long after that man was no longer in the picture, and also how their fear of their emperor and current reverence to their new god changed how they acted and operated. Dalen knew that Broken's apotheosis had occurred centuries before, but after studying the histories and beliefs of their founder, he struggled to believe in him as a god, especially since no prophet or oracle or anyone who claimed spiritual authority had been able to prove communion with him since. And yet, the Broken Empire, or at least its remnant, still stood as a symbol of order and power throughout the spheres. This gala was Dalen's first opportunity to watch the inner workings of the system that had kept the Broken Empire running. Lord Mortimer Henley's reason for attending this party, however, was very, very different.
"My lord, you obviously hold disdain for the way the rest of the nobility act.
Why do you engage in the same practices that you find so repugnant? Daylan asked, his tone slightly cautious, trying his best not to challenge or offend his teacher.
My boy, you have a very inquisitive mind, which I greatly admire in you. I, like yourself, am a philosopher at heart. It's not about being right and them being wrong. Such things are for scholars. No, philosophy is about understanding all aspects of life and society, and then challenging others' perception of it. I stand up to the other nobles in my own way. However, this is an age of diplomacy, not philosophy. For us to bring about change to the whole, we must do so from the inside, one small step at a time.
Mortimer sighed, seeing the disappointment on Daylan's face, and began swirling his glass of wine in his hand as he considered what to say next.
I know you want to change the world, and I believe that one day you shall. But before you can do that, you must understand. Not just your own convictions, but the convictions and reasons of everyone who you would serve and oppose. Only then can you truly rise above to become something greater.
I know, Daylan said, but I just can't help but feel that we could be doing so much more than attending parties and balls.
Daylan, I hate these events as much as you do, maybe even more, but they do serve a vital purpose. This is where all the nobility gather to make secret alliances and plot against one another. My appearance here shows them that we are still a political threat, and that they will need more than a few underhanded deals to take me down. They will assume that I have alliances of my own, and that gives us leverage to continue our work.
Mortimer looked up from his glass of wine and across the ballroom floor.
Besides, this party in particular is of particular interest to me and to your training as my ward.
It is? Daylan asked, sipping the water that he had poured in a wine glass at the beginning of their meal.
Indeed. I have it on good authority that an assassination attempt will take place tonight.
Pfft! Daylan caught himself from spitting out water in disbelief.
Against you?
No, of course not. Many of my fellow nobles dislike me, but I don't have enough influence to be that big of a threat. In honesty, I'm not entirely sure who the target is. And though this attempt will inevitably fail, seeing the lengths that the nobility are willing to go to in order to accomplish their goals, and also how the nobility react to such an ordeal, is important to any seeking to understand our culture in all of its facets.
So you brought me to a party where there will most likely be a deadly assassin present for the sake of training.
Precisely. I'm glad you understand. Now, my boy, let's use this as an opportunity to further our understanding, and potentially even catch a killer, which may in turn feather our own political standings as well.
When Lord Henley had invited Daylan to a high society ball, this wasn't exactly what Daylan had in mind, though it did present an interesting situation. Philosophers at their core were investigators, tasked with discovering the mysteries of the heart, the mind, and the universe as a whole. Surely he could put his skills to use in this situation as well, couldn't he?
Okay, Daylan said reluctantly. What do we know about this assassin?
Woefully little, I'm afraid. Though there were rumors that they could be a sanguine or a blood zealot.
Wouldn't the soul governors prevent them from using their power?
Their external powers, yes, but sanguinism and hemomancy are both very proficient at boosting the internal abilities of their users, making them extremely strong and resilient.
Oh, lovely. I thought you said that this assassination attempt would be from one of the other noble houses. Why would they work with heretics?
Many nobles will do anything to accomplish their goals, even heresy. Now, if you were a blood mage or vampire, how would you get into a high society gala that employs warden-enforced soul governors?
Daylan thought about this question long and hard. He then glanced at the glass of wine still resting in Mortimer's hand. Sanguines still need blood to utilize their power. I don't know much about hemomancy, but I would assume the same is true for them as well.
Perhaps they would attempt to blend in with the chefs or butchers in the back halls in order to be nearer to blood and not arouse any suspicion.
That is a very calculated guess, my young ward. Though both sanguines and hemomancers can utilize their own blood to perform magic as well. Still, it would most likely be to their benefit to blend in with the event staff, and being around additional blood would not hurt their chances, I'm sure. Very well, we shall start our investigation in the back halls and in the kitchen.
Tataryn waited, lined up against the wall, facing the hulking Ordin house steward, who the others called Grimace, most likely due to the massive scar separating part of her top lip from the rest of her uncanny, tusked smile. She barked orders as squads of waiters and chefs broke off from the line, heading to their designated stations. Many cultures, primarily the secluded Elkin, considered Ordin to be beasts and monsters. However, Brokhen society had long since moved past such bigotry. Most Ordin were extremely intelligent and socially adept. Their society had been one of the most steadfast and secure throughout the ages, and their master architects and engineers were proof of their intelligence and ingenuity. This particular specimen, however, definitely gave more credence to the beast stereotype. Tataryn was biding his time, waiting for the right moment to break off with another group of staff and disappear into the back halls before Grimace realized that he was out of place. But that time had yet to present itself. He had called in a favor with an old friend of a friend to get into this event, and he was not going to waste it. Though he had only been here for a few hours, he had grown quite fond of several members of the staff. They seemed like good and honest people. It was a pity they would all have to die.
Butchers, if I see one bone where it shouldn't be, or a single jagged cut, or a single slice of spoiled meat, I will send a lot of you home to butcher's bog, you hear me?
The brawny woman shouted. Tataryn knew just from a glance that none of these so-called butchers had ever even stepped foot in Butcher's Bog, but he knew no one would question or correct her as they all shouted, "Yes, steward!" in unison, and headed off to the butchery behind the kitchen. Tataryn followed. It was ironic to Tataryn that he knew more about the culture and history of the butchering arts than any of these people, and yet he was the fake. He had been to Butcher's Bog a handful of times in his youth while on pilgrimages. Though it historically held very little religious significance to his people, it was still considered a holy site by many zealots just because Crom had recognized and praised their zealotry while he still walked the mortal world. Even though Tataryn hated Crom for his abandonment of his people, he could not ignore the significance he played in their culture. He was the blood child, after all, wasn't he? Tataryn marched with the butchers past the gathered waitstaff and through the kitchen, and slipped away through a half-open door near the butchery entrance. The door opened into a dimly lit corridor leading to who knows where. Intricately designed rugs ran down the hall with swirling patterns of what must have used to be red and orange, though in the dim lighting and after years of use, they appeared closer to black and brown. Wallpaper that was equally detailed and ugly in Tataryn's eyes created a strange psychedelic tunnel leading into the unknown darkness. Part of him wished he had done more reconnaissance and memorized the floor plan, but in the end it wouldn't really matter once he began. The warden had made sure that there would be no way in or out of this place, and with the soul governors he should be able to make short work of anyone and everyone that got in his way. He traced the wall with his hand as he walked quietly down the hall. He breathed deeply, feeling his blood quicken and heed his call. He pushed against the walls of his mortal form, trying to push his consciousness past himself, but to no avail. These governors were more effective than he had given them credit for. He settled for pushing blood to his head, his nerves, his eyes, ears, and nose, increasing his senses tenfold compared to that of a regular human. He kept pressing forward until he eventually came upon a door to a men's washroom, where a poor, unsuspecting guard was whistling a tune while relieving himself. Tataryn reached up to the house emblem pin on his apron. It was a small bird with outstretched wings sitting atop the figure of a sleeping lion. It was the symbol of the noble house, whose name he never learned, that was throwing this secret party. Luckily for him, the tip of the bird's wings were extremely sharp. He had made sure of it. He thrust the end of his index finger against the tip of the wing, and blood began to gather around it and drip down the golden pin. He lowered his hand and allowed the blood to coagulate off his fingernail as it slowly dripped, forming a razor-sharp spike like an icicle on his finger. He held his breath and stepped into the washroom, alone with the whistling guard. And so it begins. Martonis sat alone at his table in the corner of the ballroom, picking at the assortment of olives and cheese before him with a small wooden toothpick. He glanced around at the other guests, noting which ones might actually know how to wield the sabers at their waists, concluding on the fact that none of them would be much of a formidable opponent. Yet he still mentally documented which ones could potentially pose a threat if their apparent ineptitude was simply an act. It pays to be careful, and to never underestimate anyone, especially in this line of work. Throughout the night, no one had approached him, and he was okay with that. Martonis liked being left alone, even though in reality, he was never alone. He was always there.
Keeper,
said a deep and demonic voice from within the depths of Martonis' mind.
Yes,
he whispered quietly so that the other guests could not hear him.
I smell blood,
the voice shouted.
It's a feast. There's bound to be all kinds of blood from the meat in the kitchen.
Human blood.
Martonis' heart skipped a beat. Why couldn't this just be an easy job? There was always something. When he had been assigned to infiltrate this event, he thought it would be a nice change of pace. He might even get to relax. Boy, was he wrong.
Show me.
With those words, Martonis' shadow, that had been resting on the floor and dancing from the flickering chandelier overhead, sprang to life. It began to grow and move independently from Martonis' body and the room's light. In an instant, it took on a solid form, and its endless, burning red eyes burst to life. This creature stood nearly 9 feet tall, covered completely with rippling and flowing shadows. These shadows came to 3 points at the top of its form. The center one holding those hellish eyes. It had been decades since the binding, but Martonis still hadn't fully gotten used to seeing Reaper's true form. The Reaper nodded to Martonis and then sprang out into the wide hall, swimming through the air like an eel, leaving a trail of shadow with red streaks from its eyes. In a moment, it crossed the hall, passing through, under, and around people and tables in its way. Though nothing sensed or acknowledged its presence, it was a Faden, after all. Only extremely gifted seers who were specifically looking into the veil would be able to spot it unless it chose to reveal itself. Martonis closed his eyes as his world turned black and then blindingly red. And then, when he opened his eyes, he was seeing through the eyes of Reaper, ducking in and out of rooms, passing hidden through walls and doors. And then he saw it, a body, lying on the floor of the staff's washroom. He closed and opened his eyes again, returning to the table where his body sat. He stood up, exhaled a long sigh, and began to walk. Hello, and welcome to Akron Audio. I hope that you will enjoy this story, and if you do, please leave a like and a comment. I would really appreciate it. To stay up to date on when new stories are released, please feel free to subscribe and click the notification bell. Without further ado, I implore that you listen and enjoy.